How and why obituaries are being turned into clickbait. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. Today, a deep dive into the growing online trend involving what's known as obituary spam. It's powered by a sprawling network of websites churning out AI-generated obituaries about people who have died. And when their names are searched online, those articles clutter the results. As The Verge has been reporting, Legacy.com is the largest and most established of these aggregators, but there are plenty of smaller sites with names like Eternal Honoring and In Loving Memory News. And you guessed it, there's a lot of money driving this. This can happen to anyone. That's what Brian Bastig learned last year when he read his own obituary along with his ex-wife's. Mia Sato, a reporter at The Verge, covered their story.
Brian and Beth were a married couple at one point and then remained friends, very close, throughout Beth's life. And in late December 2023, some friends of theirs got news that both of them had suddenly died. And basically, Brian was perfectly fine. He's alive and well. I spoke to him for this piece. He is certainly not dead. Beth had, in fact, passed away in December. But online, there was a flood of inaccurate news articles and obituaries that had claimed both Brian and Beth had passed away. And it kind of became this really, you know, doubly traumatizing, doubly upsetting situation where people were kind of like mourning for a person that had in fact passed away, but then mourning for someone who was very much alive.
And what did Brian tell you about how this affected him?
He was really upset. He was angry that, you know, his friends had had to go through this experience and had been under the impression that he passed away, because it kind of created additional harm, right? Based on what was already the baseline of harm is like Beth had in fact died, and there were sort of articles that were in poor taste or also inaccurate about her. So like that alone is upsetting enough. But the fact that there was this double impact on his loved ones, I think, made him really upset.
And you write that these articles don't actually contain all that much information, but they are filled with keywords that target people who might be searching on Google. Why is this happening?
Yeah, so the sites are basically like the perfect distillation of what it looks like to create content specifically to rank on Google search. This is an entire cottage industry, and I should say not just for obituaries, but most publishers that rely on Google for traffic will tweak their pages and their websites so that it is more amenable to Google search, to being surfaced on the top. And this is, I think, another really important part of this is like, this is happening to people who have no public profile whatsoever. It's happening to children. It's happening to teens and college students. It's not really about how many people are searching for this. It's just like, there's a rise in people searching for this person's name, and we are going to try to jump on that and try to bump our site to the top of search results in order to get some of this traffic and make money.
Well, speaking of that, how do they make money? Because I think that's really key to the motivation here.
So another commonality between these sites is that they are loaded with ads. And every time people click on these links or then click on the ad, the website is able to earn, you know, a couple cents. So it's literally pennies. But imagine doing this thousands of times a month for all different people around the world who are passing away and who people are desperately trying to search for information about. That does add up.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Mia Sato at The Verge. It sounds like, from what you wrote, that AI has really put this industry into a whole new stratosphere.
Yeah, the introduction of AI tools in the last year and a half or 2 years has really accelerated it. And so across several sites that I looked at, there were telltale signs that AI tools were being used to produce this content. For example, this discrepancy between claiming that Brian was dead when he wasn't, we kind of were looking at the sites that were reporting this, and there was one site that seemed to take an op-ed that Beth and Brian wrote together, and it was a dual byline. And it seemed like they just put it through ChatGPT and was like, summarize this story. There was another website that publishes hundreds of stories a day. Some of its writers published 20 stories just alone in a day, which is, if you write stories, that's way too many. But the site, when I looked at the author page, immediately there were like three people who were very clearly AI generated, with headshots, you know, kind of the overly smooth face, unreal backgrounds, weird things happening in their clothes. And after I reached out to the site, they deleted those authors and all of their archived stories. The articles all also sound the same. They use kind of unnatural, stilted language, words that you wouldn't really associate with like someone actually writing an obituary about someone they knew. And you saw these across a bunch of different sites.
Yeah. Obituary scraping. This has been an issue for quite some time now. And Google has had to deal with this. What do we know about what they're doing about it, if anything?
So initially when my story was published, Google gave me a response that was sort of boilerplate. We know this is an issue, and we are working on it. Recently, in the last couple weeks, Google has announced a bunch of algorithm updates for search that it says will cut back on different practices, including obituary spam. That was actually one of the ones they specifically named.
Oh, wow.
And the idea is that they will kind of cut down on how these sites are able to appear at the top. And I think the response that I got to the story of people saying, my friend died last year and I had this exact experience, or when my brother passed away, we spent weeks, you know, trying to fight these sites and getting these sites taken down or, you know, deranked from Google, and it didn't work. And that kind of, I think that shows sort of how the scale of this problem, where literally anyone could have someone they love pass away and they could then have, you know, a bunch of websites they've never heard of writing incorrect information about them.
And you say that these are folks who don't have a public profile, but in some respects, almost all of us have some sort of web profile by way of social media. I mean, if nothing else, right?
Yeah, that's for sure true. I think what makes these folks different is that this problem of data voids is a problem for all search engines. And the idea behind data voids is you search for something, there aren't enough results that kind of meet that query. And so, you know, things that maybe shouldn't be at the top start to bubble up. So if you are searching the name of a person who, let's say maybe they have a Facebook account, but no LinkedIn and don't have a public facing job and they pass away, right? Like what else will Google serve them? They have to put something in front of their users. And so that is how these sort of ickier websites are able to sneak through and slip to the top. And then, you know, I should say also, like, just because they're at the top at one point doesn't mean that will be forever. So the search rankings do kind of shuffle around with Brian and Beth. Brian actually wrote Beth's actual obituary several weeks after she had passed away. And the last I checked, it was towards the top. So in this case, he kind of was able to like out SEO the SEO spam sites.
That was Mia Sato at The Verge. You can read Mia's recent article in The Verge. We've posted it on marketplacetech.org. Lydia Ayeno produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.